Going to be reading from Mark 4, 26 through 32. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, and what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Today we honor our fathers. Dads don't always get the respect that they deserve these days. There was a doting father that would sing lullabies to his children when they went to bed. He felt like he was maybe helping out mom a little bit, giving her a little break while he got the children in the bed. He even learned several different lullabies so he could kind of break things up in different variety of songs. Until one night, he overheard his four-year-old daughter tell her younger sister, "If you pretend you're asleep, he'll quit singing." Garrison Keillor in the Writer's Almanac on NPR said, "Father's Day goes back to a Sunday morning in May of 1909 when a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd was sitting in church in Spokane, Washington, listening to a Mother's Day sermon. She thought of her father who had raised her and her siblings after her mother died in childbirth, and she thought that fathers should get recognition too. So she asked the minister of the church if he would deliver a sermon honoring fathers on her father's birthday, which was coming up in June, and the minister did. And the tradition of the Father's Day caught on, however, rather slowly. Mother's Day became an official holiday in 1914, Father's Day not until 1972. They've said that Mother's Day is still the busiest day of the year for florists, restaurants, and back in the day when there were long-distance phone calls for long-distance phone calls. It's all on your cell phone anymore. It doesn't cost anything. Father's Day was a day when the most collect long-distance phone calls were made. It was Stringbird who said, "That is the thankless position of fathers in the family, the provider for all, the enemy of all." Oscar Wilde says, "Fathers should neither be seen nor heard, and that is the only proper basis for family life." I don't quite agree with that. In Mark, Jesus is describing the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like. He talks about how a man scatters seed on the ground night and day, and whether he sleeps or not, doesn't understand how it grows, but the seed grows anyway. Now, that's not necessarily talking about fathers and Father's Day, but it kind of introduces the concept of raising children as much as raising crops. Dads have a very important role in raising children. I know most people think about raising children, they think about moms. And moms have a vital role in raising children, but dads have an important role as well. But there was a man out on the golf course one day, and he had four caddies. A friend of his asked, "Why do you have so many caddies?" And he told his friend, he says, "Well, it was my wife's idea. She thinks I should spend more time with the kids." I suppose that's one way of doing it. I don't think that's really what she had in mind. There's another new dad that had just had a child. His wife said, "Would you mind changing his diaper?" He goes, "I'll get the next one." Well, came time to change the baby's diaper again, and she said, "Okay, it's the next time." He goes, "I didn't mean the next diaper, I meant the next kid." We laugh about dads sometimes, but dads do hold a vital role in raising our children. Bill Keane, who was the cartoonist for Family Circus, passed away several years ago, but one of his last cartoon strips about dads and Father's Day. He shows a dad leaning back in his recliner, like we sometimes envision dads, and the young boy walking by the chair with his ball, bat, and glove. And the little boy looks at dad and says, "Anytime you're ready, Dad, I'll be sitting outside growing older." I don't know how many dads actually toss the ball back and forth anymore. It used to be a big thing when we were younger. And another example, dad's walking his daughter up the aisle to be married, gives his daughter a kiss and hands her to the groom as the daughter reaches out with her hand and hands dad his credit card back. We pick on dads a little bit because dads are always there handy with their wallet or their credit card when the child needs something, and that's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you go back, and in part of our study of Ruth on Wednesday evenings, you go back and look at society back in those days. It was a patriarchal society. And the eldest man in the family, whether it was dad or granddad or great-granddad, whatever, the eldest was the patriarch. And it was his position to take care of the family, financially and otherwise. And if something happened to someone in the family, it was his position, as Sandra Richter puts it, to say, okay, how much, and lay his checkbook on the table to take care of whatever was wrong. And so it's been something that's been accepted and been done for many, many years. Dads take care of their children. Comic Robin Fairbanks kids about his 18-year-old daughter, who's named Alexis. And he says, "I named her Alexis because if it hadn't been for her, I would have had a Lexus." Comedian Phyllis Diller, she says, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, and then I'm moving in with them." We always try to make it so that our children have a better life than we did. I mean, that's part of it. You're always trying to make your children better than you were. And that's a big thing with dads. Moms, too. Moms raise children emotionally and intimately and loving and those kinds of things. And dads are the checkbook. Not just the checkbook. Dads love their children just as much as moms do. But that's kind of how things tend to fall. In our verses this morning, while they don't really specifically talk about dads, it's about followers. It's about followers of Christ. It's about how the Master is talking about the kingdom of God and how he speaks hopeful about days ahead, about what shall the kingdom of God be like. And it's like a mustard seed. And if you've ever seen a mustard seed, and I guess I should have worn mine today, I forgot about it, it's a little teeny tiny seed. But that little teeny tiny seed grows into a bush that can be 10 to 12 feet tall and 10 to 12 feet wide. Big. So this little tiny seed grows up into something pretty good size. And when we look at life, that's kind of how it is. It's about the seeds that we plant in our children as we're raising them. It's about the seeds that dad plants in their children's minds as they're being raised, the potential that they have for greatness, the potential they have for their future, for their growth. And we can kind of compare that with the early church. If you think about the early church, it started out with Jesus and 12 disciples. And then there were some women that helped along. Of course, the Bible doesn't talk about the women, so we don't really know how many or who they were. But there were women involved. But from this small beginning, this small seed, the Christian church has grown into an estimated 2.1 billion Christians worldwide. That's about a third of the worldwide population. And while, yeah, we see churches around us in the United States kind of fading. Churches in other parts of the world, in Asia and in Africa and in South America, are growing phenomenally. So from that small seed, the beginnings of the church, we have grown into something that is phenomenally large. And even if you look at history and go back to the beginnings of hospitals, when hospitals started becoming a thing, they were Christian hospitals. When colleges started coming up in the United States, they were Christian colleges. The civil rights movement in the United States started out based on scripture. It was a Christian movement. So we're continually reminded of how Christianity has helped society and helped society to grow and has grown the church. Even if you go back and look at the beginnings of the United States, our founding fathers were Christians. And much of what they wrote in the beginning as they founded the United States was based on Christianity. A lot of what was written was authored by Thomas Jefferson, who got his ideas from the French Enlightenment. The French Enlightenment got its ideas from the Renaissance. The Renaissance got its ideas from the Reformation. And where did the Reformation get its ideas from? The Bible. It was a Christian Reformation. A tiny seed planted 2,000 years ago has blossomed into the greater Christian church, the greater Catholic church, if you will, the little C Catholic church. So parents are kind of the same way. They plant little seeds and they grow into great adults. A baby's born into a household and it is a major event. Every baby that's born represents hope for a new world, hope for the future. Queen Victoria was fascinated by the number of brilliant people that she had around her in her Royal Society. And she asked the Prime Minister, John Bright, one day, says, "Where do all these learned men come from?" And Bright looked at her and said, "Well, Your Majesty, they come from babies. Every time a baby is born, there is a potential for the future, hope for the future." There's a small church here in Kentucky, a rural church, that over the years has produced several outstanding clergy members. While interviewing a new group of pastoral candidates, a member of the search committee mentioned the former pastors who had gone through to become prominent church members, church leaders. One was the president of a seminary. Another was a pastor of a large municipal church. Another was also a seminary president. A third was the president of two denominational conventions and an international alliance. So the question came, how in the world did you find that many potentially great men in this little church? And one of the other committee members said, "We didn't find them, we made them." And that's how it really works. It's about how we raise our children. It's about how we nurture and raise our children. Don Acock wrote a book called Symbols of Salvation. It tells about an Italian film called The Tree of the Wooden Clogs. And it talks about a little Italian boy, a little five-year-old Italian boy, growing up in an agricultural area. And the priest in the community encouraged the parents to send him off to school. Of course, they really didn't want to because they needed the help on the farm. This is a poor farming community. But they agreed with the priest that he needed to go off to school. Because the priest told him, you have to understand, this boy is gifted with intelligence. Apparently a very smart boy. And we look for things like that. And we try to make right decisions based on that. Pablo Casals, the well-known cellist, says, what do we teach our children? We teach them that two and two make four, and Paris is the capital of France. When will we also teach them what they are? or who they are, and how much of a marvel and how unique they are. Each person is their own individual person. Each person has the potential of becoming Shakespeare or Michelangelo or Beethoven or any one of a number of things. Children are a marvel. And as they are that young seed, we nurture them to grow into that potential person that they could be. There's amazing things that we can do through our youth if we lead them according to God. So the big thing about our Father's Day message is that each child, whether it be our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren, has great potential. And we are to be there for that child as fathers, to guide them, to help them, whether it be in their home life or whether it be in a church environment or however that works out. We are there to guide them. Dr. Fred Craddock, who we know is a well-known retired seminary professor and preacher, talks about a person who had great influence over him. He said her name was Emma Sloan. She was an elderly woman, single. She taught him in the primary department, and since there was nobody to teach his group as juniors, she went right on with them and taught them for years. She gave him a Bible. She wrote in the front, "May this be a light to your feet, a lamp for your path." She taught the children to memorize the Bible. She never tried to interpret it. Craddock says he doesn't remember her ever explaining anything, just telling them to put it in your heart. Put the Bible and the words of God in your heart. Said she used the alphabet, and they'd go around the room saying verses based on the alphabet. Things like A was, "A soft answer turns away wrath." Or B, "Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving each other." C, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Or D, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Or E, "Every good and perfect gift." Or F, "For God so loved the world." He says, "I can still remember those verses based on the alphabet." Said she never explained what they meant. She just sowed the seeds of Scripture in our hearts. Says they learned those verses and they recited them before the adults in the Sunday afternoon. He says, "I can't think of anything in my life that has made such a radical difference as those verses. The Spirit of God brings them to my mind appropriately time and time again." So as parents, we have great influence. As teachers, we have great influence. And it's not just parents, it's aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, neighbors. We all have an influence on how our children grow up. And especially moms and dads. And today we honor dads as especially having a part in the growth of our children. God tells us about a tiny mustard seed, and that's the way it is with our children. Our duty as Christians and as dads is to raise our children in a Christian environment. Most of us probably remember the movie years ago called Oh God, and then there was an Oh God Part 2, George Burns and John Denver, where Burns played God and John Denver played a grocery store manager named Jerry. One day, God decides to communicate his love to the world through Jerry. Jerry, with much reluctance, holds a news conference to deliver God's message, which lands him in court, where God has to take the stand in his own defense. Toward the end of the movie, the two evaluate the success of their mission. Denver judges it to be a failure. George Burns, as God, says, "Oh, I don't think so. You never know. A seed here and a seed there, something will catch hold and grow." And that's the story of our faith. We plant seeds. We plant seeds in our friends and coworkers, our neighbors. We especially plant seeds in our children. And those seeds take hold and help them to grow. Grow in God's kingdom. It is a growth of ministry. There's power in that tiny mustard seed. There's power in that little seed that we plant in somebody's heart and mind, and how they see God and how they see Christianity. And it helps them to build their faith, build their growth. And it's not about interpreting the Bible for them. It is about helping them to read the Bible daily, put the Bible to memory, put the Bible in their hearts, and let them interpret it with God's help. Amen.